member of WildGamesProductions.com and D20Radio.com.
As you turn the corner ahead, you see a narrow stone span over a pulsing stream of molten rock.
Dude, I totally got this. I move out to cross the bridge.
Halfway across, toxic fumes begin to make your head spin. You will have to make your save to continue on, or you will topple over into the lava. And through the shimmering heat, you think you see some short humanoids leveling crossbows at you from cover on the far bank. You are hit twice and feel a burning fire begin to spread from the wounds. Save or die!
Adventure number 43 for the Save or Die podcast. I am DM Vince along with DM Glenn with a new sound.
With a new sound!
Crystal clear.
Now I can start listening to the show again. No, I've just been slacking, that's all. Computer problems, folks, sorry.
Yeah, people were wondering what's going on with Thacko's hammer. They were asking about on the forums last night. I just told them your computer was down out.
Yeah, it had a meltdown, so... Now, courtesy of our other host, DM Mike, I am back up again. Thank you, Michael.
You are welcome. I had the thing laying around here. I wasn't using it anymore, so glad I could send it to somebody, get some use out of it.
And
what?
Liz helped too.
Yes, she did.
I
Liz helped.
A tiny bit.
They hosted us last weekend for a nice little weekend with them, and we really enjoyed ourselves. And Becky and I would like to say thank you.
Welcome.
No problem. You didn't wreck the guest bedroom, so, you know, hey, that's...
And I got to play 2E, yes.
with a Jewish cleric. Halfling cleric.
Yes, Jaime.
A Jewish halfling cleric?
Yeah, Jaime Fish... Jaime Bagfish.
Bagfish, yeah.
Was he eating gefilte fish?
We never found out. Our position was over by trolls.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I had herring as my rations.
Gotcha. So, gaming, I see you guys played. So, how did that adventure go? Like,
we lived.
It was fun.
It was very, Oh.
Yeah. I said, we didn't win, but we retreated real good.
Do you remember the end of the movie Platoon?
Yeah.
It was very much like that, only instead of Viet Cong and NVA, it was trolls.
And cave trolls.
Yeah, our position was overrun, and we were forced to run like scared little girls back to the halfling main village. We saved as many as we could, but we ran.
Yeah,
out of several hundreds. What?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh. I was just going to say, out of several hundred people in our force, we managed to escape with maybe, what, 9?
Well, we picked up stragglers. I think it was closer to like 13 or so. But yeah, it was ugly.
You guys make it sound so cowardly. Hey, we retreated, taking as many of them with us as we could. Not with us literally, but down, you know.
Yeah,
hand in hand.
Well, there were hundreds and hundreds of trolls, so, you know.
Yeah, but we got those cave trolls real good.
Yes, we did.
Cool. Sounds like a fun game.
Yep.
It was.
Even though it was second edition.
Even though a completely different game from you know,
from classic.
First edition or classic, indeed. You know.
Ooh, Brian's gonna have fun with you when you go on our show.
Well, yeah, Full On Gamer is probably gonna just like beat the crap out of me on the show too.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. I already got a shot like that on Full On Gamer when we were doing the interview with Zach. So, you know.
Yeah.
He does realize I was kidding, right, Glenn?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So, Vince, what have you been doing gaming-wise?
Book of Sorrows started back up.
That's what I was doing.
Thursday night, Book of Sorrows, Glenn was in the game.
We burned down a potion shop. Yay!
I'm sorry that I missed it.
Yeah, Mike, you're busy in your Mike land, not worrying about Book of Sorrows with Erwin, so...
No, I'm worried about freshmen.
With the Cheese Act?
Yeah.
Okay, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to...
Well, Mike, if you were back in the party, you'd be slapping your hand on your face because now the party is full of dwarves.
What, Clan Trask?
Yes, pretty much.
They're breeding.
Yeah.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to the bear we go.
Yeah, it's Trask's brother there. Trask is no longer there, but his brother's there, and now Glenn's character and the new person, they're the revenge for Trask, so.
Yeah, it's just a job to me. Bundy is in there, so he's the one who basically helped blow up the shop.
Yeah.
Bundy.
Well, it's just that this, you know, throwing a rack of potions down on the ground was just a distraction to him.
Mm. Well, we'll let the people listen and find that out.
Yeah, okay.
The other thing I've been working on this week is, actually, I joined up on the Hickman's Writing Shop seminars, the Scribes Forums that Tracy Hickman was talking about. Pretty interesting.
Lord knows you need it.
I need it. Thanks,
no,
Glenn.
No, of course. Of course you don't.
Pretty interesting. Week one of the class was that you had to, Tracy was telling us how to go out and pitch your book to people. So basically you had to have an idea and then give a summary to any strange person on the street that you don't know. So I had fun running around to people going, all right, picture this.
And he holds up a sign, we'll summarize my new book for food.
Yeah, like I had to give them a one-liner, and then I had to give a description of it and see what they thought. Most people just ran away from me because they thought it was crazy. But
as I was about to say, at that point, the policeman arrived, and
a couple people said,
"Pitch the book to them."
Yeah, as they're arresting me.
What do you think of this?
A couple.
And then
people,
when you're in the holding tank, you know you've got a captive audience. So
yeah,
yeah, there you go.
Until they beat the crap out of me.
Well, yeah.
That's when you probably know the book isn't very good.
Is this a paid workshop? Or?
Yeah, it's a paid workshop. It's not that expensive, but if you do have some extra cash and you want to do some writing with the Hickmans personally, I suggest you go to the Scribes Forum or just go to trhickman.com and look for the information there. It's well worth it.
Cool.
To learn how to write similar style, how they have a whole process of how it works, and it's really interesting, and I never thought of the way. I can't really say the exact method, but it's interesting, I'll tell you that.
You'll find out when you get into the inner circle.
That's right.
And you can cast real you can learn the writing.
Yeah. Black Leaf, no!
Come to our forums, chat it up with us, osrgaming.org, and we've got some great conversations going on there. Glenn is a moderator. Glenn is a moderator. Just throwing that out there, because Glenn likes moderate things.
Yes, I do watch. I'm always watching. I may not say anything, but I'm always watching.
Yeah, and Liz is on there sometimes.
Although not as much as Dizzy Saxophone. So,
Dizzy's the warden of the forums, all right?
Yeah.
He tells me what to do.
I'm more surprising like number of Texans on there.
I know. I think the OSR Gaming is like a Texan forum now.
I'm surprised Bad Mike isn't on there more.
He's busy with North Texas RPG Con.
Yeah, I'm reaching the point to where I don't want to sign my name good at it anymore because I don't think anybody's going to get it since Mad Mike's not around.
I'll keep doing it because you got such witty rejoinders in there.
Yeah, good, but not at posting Mike. I'm like, every time there's something different in there now.
Well, I keep trying to come up with different things, so. But he needs to show up.
I don't know if he's going to show up or not. He's busy. On to business. Emails.
Emails. We have email. One email.
Thank you, Liz.
But it's so good, it might as well be several.
Sweet. Who's it from?
It's from DM Dwayne.
Dwayne.
Oh, that guy.
Dwayne.
Hey.
Anyway, Dwayne writes, just listened to Sod 41. Great as always. My views on Paralyzed AC. Well, any dex bonuses are obviously taken away, and I think AC does have a movement factor to it. Even though I haven't read it anywhere, I believe it does. But a majority of the AC is due to the type of armor, so maybe a reduction from plate mail from 3 to 5, chain mail 5 to 7, leather from 7 to 9, magical protection remains, a ring of protection still protects, and the magical enhancements on armor remain the same, just not the armor's base AC. Shields, magical or not, are not helpful. Just some thoughts on the subject. Thanks for the great podcast. And thank you, DM Dwayne.
Thank you, Dwayne. I like that. I actually like that. All right. Dissension?
My only problem with that is, and as somebody who has worn plate and chainmail armor before. Heavier than you think. There's always gaps. Mm-hmm. And if you can't move, it's very easy for something to go for those gaps.
Mm-hmm.
I so do like the idea about the magical pluses being there regardless, though.
Yeah.
On reflection, I probably would let even a paralyzed character, if they have magic armor, get the magic pluses to their AC. But I don't know that I would go with even a reduced base AC.
So the gaps, does that make it since he's paralyzed, does that make it easier to make a called shot?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay. I would say so too, okay. Yeah.
For instance, I mean, even in full plate, other than on the outside of the fingers, your interior fingers and palm and an extension down your wrist only has a leather glove there. There's openings at the joints.
And besides, right. If you're paralyzed, I can walk up to you, take your helmet off, and slit your throat.
Yes.
So, ha.
That's true.
Or reach in under a helmet, or, again, you know, and I would say something mindless, like maybe, well, of course, this is paralyzation, but a ghoul, which is kind of the iconic paralyzing creature, has at least an animal intelligence, and animals know enough to go for the less crunchy bits.
Mm-hmm.
See, I would make my hat of holding something special where they couldn't take it off my head. I would have, like, magical suction to keep it on my head.
That hat sucks.
I click a button.
Then I would make you every round of combat to see if it sucks down over your nose.
Yeah, that's what Glenn told me with the magical hat. I said, what prevents it from sucking you inside the hat while you're wearing it? He's like, I don't know, I never thought about that.
It hangs up on my ears.
I assumed there was like a magical word that let you access the holding part, and then, you know.
All right, well, that makes sense. And I guess if you just say whatever Kalamazoo and the hat becomes a
like
a hat presto.
Holder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if I say Baggins and it sucks itself to my head. Won't go anywhere. It's over my eyes. Talk about it.
Yeah, the hat slides down too far. Pulls his eyes out. All right, thanks for the email. If you want to email us, that's saveordiepodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, email us about your thoughts on Glenn's hat.
Yeah.
And my eyeballs. We're not going to get that graphic next time.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe not. Good. Let's head into Game On.
All right.
Game On this week. Topic of Game On this week is replacement PCs and how do you generate them? Well, usually with some dice and paper, right?
Yeah, I pull them out of the trash. Oh, PCs. Okay.
PCs.
Not feces, Glenn.
Got
so,
it.
Basically what the notes say here is the party is a high level, and let's say we're at level 6. A person dies in the party, and he's like, well, I want to play still. What do? Do you bring them back as first level? Or do you average out the party and bring them back as, I don't know, third or fourth level?
Or do you bring them back as first level?
I said first, didn't I?
Or do you bring them back as a troll?
All right, troll.
They said third.
Oh, or do you bring them back as sixth level? Let's start down the line. Liz?
I would average them with the rest of the party.
Okay. So you make them...
So say if you had a party ranging from... say, 5th level through 7th level.
Right.
Then I'd probably put them at the... Actually, I wouldn't say I would average. I'd put them at the same level as the lowest level party member.
Right.
So if the lowest level was a 5th level in the party, I'd bring them in as 5th levels as well.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
And Senor Glenn?
Well... I think I'm going to be averaging them out, although I was tinkering with the idea of bringing them back, say, taking the highest level of the level, the highest member, highest level of the member of the party, and bringing them back as like one level lower than that.
Okay. Interesting. Mikey.
My heart tells me bring them back as first level.
Ooh.
Because that's how the game works. But
really? I didn't know that. Thank you for educating me.
Yeah, and that's what I figured, Glenn.
Okay.
Hey, you gotta start that. Well, anyway, as I was saying...
That's not in second edition, so Glenn wouldn't know that, so...
Oh, yeah, okay. My heart tells me to do that, but I probably would weenie out and give them at least a character halfway up the range. Like third level or so, if it's if the party level averages at sixth.
That sounds fair.
Well, the original idea of the game should have been they come back as first level and you take your chances, but you know, that guy's not gonna have fun in a party of six levels and they're like hiding behind everyone else.
Well, how do you handle experience with them doing that then? If you put them at first level and the rest of the party is at a higher level gaining experience, do you average the experience based on a first-level character, or are you just going to give them the same amount of experience as a sixth-level character?
Considering the challenges they would overcome would be, well, I don't want to say average, you know, challenge-rated or anything, but generally will be stuff that will make a sixth-level party have some challenge to it. I would give them just a slice of the EP, just like everybody else.
Okay.
So if they were first level, they wouldn't stay that very long, if they lived.
Well, depending on if you let them go, let them advance levels that quickly, too.
Yeah, well, why not? I mean, there's no training rules in D&D, so...
But there is the rule that if you advance more than one level per session, you won't advance that level.
Well, yeah, obviously, but then it'll be the next session.
It just kind of,
they still keep the experience points. They just don't, you know, shoot up two or three levels in one session.
I thought it was you gain the experience to gain the level, and then you gain enough experience to be halfway through it, and that's it.
Is that must first? Be a Moldvay thing, because it's not an original.
No, okay. Maybe I'm thinking of first edition.
I don't
edition.
Think it's an original anyway. Might it doesn't occur to me.
That's also another thing to think about if you bring them back at first level. You bring them back at first level, the rest of the party's going, oh God, we got to protect this guy now.
Yep. That's another part of it.
Yeah, I've always done it one level lower than the lowest person in the party.
Wow.
As if they were sort of resurrected or something.
Yeah. So if the lowest person, like Liz's example, 5 to 7, and she'd bring him back at 5, I'd bring him back at 4.
So. Okay.
That's how I usually did it. And the other ways I've done it is just said, screw it, and you're the same level as you were just at before, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in a campaign, that might be necessary, too.
Yeah, you gotta keep them up to pace.
What system do you use? What does that refer to, Mike?
Well, I mean, you roll some dice. You get the level. Say you decided, okay, you're going to roll up another fighter and they're going to be fourth level or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Do they get any magic items? How? How do you figure out which magic items they do get or don't get?
I say no magical items.
Wow.
No.
Well, I figure...
That's harsh.
The way I'm doing it, you know, if I'm giving them basically... the lowest of the level of the party, you know, they get to start out at fifth level right out the gate.
Yeah, I agree.
So to kind of compensate for that, to make it more fair to the other players, okay, you don't get any magic items.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Liz makes sense.
Now you see, that's where I depart, because I would say, yes, start them at 3, but... they still, you know, should have a comparable magic item if their level... is quote-unquote typical for them to... Like, a fighter at third level probably has at least one magical weapon or armor piece.
Well, if I was going to do it like you, and you have a party...
Like five, you!
Well, if you have a party of 5 to 7, you know, levels 5 to 7, and I was only going to bring someone in at, say, level 3 at the highest... then I would probably want to compensate a little for the deficit in levels by giving them a magic item.
You know, that would be a way of handling it.
This is kind of overlapping with our next segment, isn't it?
Yeah, it actually kind of is. Well, so is it fair or unfair? Fair or unfair doing this?
Yeah. And the rationale there is you've got all the other players going, I had to work my character up from level one. How come he or she gets to start at level blah?
And my answer would be,
I say, shut up and roll your dice.
No, my answer would be, you had to start from level one. That'd be my answer.
Yeah, but that's usually your answer, Vince.
That's true. Hi, my name is Liz. No, sorry.
Yeah. Ah! There's two of me.
Hi, there's two of me, too.
Kermit, we'll have to kill them both to be safe.
Yes. Was that Kermit
one
the Frog?
Of us is obviously.
No, that was Mike.
Oh, Mike, you're selling Kermit the Frog, apparently.
I do. I'm over here in the dark.
At least I'm not being a golem again.
Oh, hello, brother. They're turned up.
The Golem Brothers. Yes. With nasty hermits.
I think I just lost the show, Liz.
Well.
Hey, you started it, Vince.
On that note. On that note. Glenn, where's my note?
How's that? I think it's a C.
Okay. DM Fiat up next.
Nope. Sorry.
What?
Nope, you're wrong. Look it up.
I don't have to look it up. It's common knowledge.
No.
So for the Fiat this week.
Sorry.
Homemade sound effects, folks. Only from Glenn. We're talking about magical...
100% organic.
We're very green on this show. Magical items for starting characters, which we're sort of getting into. Do you give them to a first to third level characters, pretty much? And I guess you're meaning if they're starting brand new, or they're starting in a campaign that's already present? You didn't really specify, but we'll go with both scenarios. So let's start with a brand new party. At first level, are you going to make some adjustments, give them some magical items, starting a brand new campaign? Mike?
No.
Why not?
Because if everyone's starting off with first level characters, that's part of the accumulation of the game.
Okay. Good reasoning. Liz?
It would depend. If I knew for a fact that they were going to be starting off in a fairly dangerous campaign for a first level character, I'd probably want to give them a little bit of something. But that's only in that specific scenario. On the whole, I might let them roll percentile, and if, say, in a 1 to 100, if they rolled a 99 or double aught, then they would get a cute little magic item of their very own, but nothing really big or powerful.
A cute little magical item.
It looks like My Little Pony. Yeah.
I can just see that supplement coming out. Liz's cute little magical items for your player characters.
With a
denim cover, bedazzled.
Bedazzled. It has to be bedazzled.
Summon Kobold Ring.
Yes!
Summon puppies, you mean.
Well, yeah, same thing.
Well, here you go. Get with Thorky and write that up.
Yeah.
Glenn, what would you do first levels?
Well, since you said it before, and also I found out playing with my grandson, it seems the average first level character is an average AC of 5. I would make it a case by case, with the exception of magic users, because I know they're screwed in the beginning. So I would make it a point to give them some kind of defensive magic, like a ring of protection something, just to make them survive long enough to actually, you know, get somewhere.
That sounds reasonable. That sounds reasonable, Grognardy and Mike.
Bah!
In my campaigns, I always start a cleric at level 2.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Why? Oh,
wow. So they can get the healing spell.
Yes.
But in classic, classic scrolls are so cheap comparatively. Give them a couple of... Let them buy some scrolls.
No.
No.
I gotta tell you, I played a little D&D with Gage, my grandson, and he played a cleric at first level. He killed an orc, scared another one off, and turned 4 skeletons. For that, I gave him 1,500 experience points.
Wow.
Only because I wanted to see him get up to level 2 so he could get an actual spell.
How old is your grandson?
8.
Okay.
And I said, don't expect this every time.
Now his grandson's 27, Mike.
I figured, but I wanted to bring up the point that, you know, when you're bringing kids into the game, especially young kids, it's,
true.
You know, it's all right to fudge a bit.
Yeah,
so next,
and kids like the magic items.
Yeah, they do.
It's just
fun.
It's just amazing for them. And
yeah. So the first spell, do you think he'd take healing? No. Protection from evil.
Once he finds out how lame it is, he'll go for a healing spell next time.
So now the next scenario was starting in a campaign that's already present. Do you give magical items out to first through third level? And I already know our answer. Well, my answer was no. Liz, I think your answer was no too. But so, Mike, you were saying you would give it out.
Yes. And in fact, it was technically for AD&D, but since it works in Classic as well, I went through and the first edition DM's guide, all the magic items there. And if you notice, they're all in basically alphabetical order, not in any type of general power level order. So I reorganized it all into certain tables for certain magic items depending on what level of character you're generating.
Why don't you just look at Appendix P or N, whatever it was in the back of DMG?
Because those tables, if you look, say, under magic weapons,
right,
the table is alphabetical. It's not in power level. And Liz can back me up on this. I had a character come into my game, third level magic user. He rolled up, I kid you not, a wand of lightning and a robe of the archmage.
Lord.
After that, I said, no, I've got to make some gradient type tables here because this is not going to. What's next? He's going to get Eye of Vecna.
I see what you did. You redid the appendix so it would be more fair to the level.
Right.
Okay.
So depending on what level your character is, you tend to get something that's roughly around that level of. I mean, you can get something a little higher or a little lower, but you got to roll really extreme to get that.
Extreme? Oh, okay. Did you, is this on paper so we could see it, or is this on, like, on your notebook paper?
Well, it's in the computer. It was also in an old issue of Footprints over at Dragon's Foot, but
we don't care about that.
I could reprint it.
Yeah, reprint it and put it in our forums for people to peruse through.
Okay.
That would be nice.
We'll try to wait till issue 72 so Mike can put it up.
Yeah. No, I'll only put it up when somebody emails or calls in and goes, tell Mike to put the thing up!
Yeah.
30 issues. He said he was going later. To do that like 3 months ago.
30 issues later, he does it.
Yeah, I was about to say, try a year ago.
So how many do we hand out?
Oh, do you hand them out, Glenn?
Case-by-case basis,
okay.
Depending on how weak the character is, if he's a magic user, or how much the party bitches they have to save his butt all the time.
Oh, so yours is kind of at a bitch level, so.
Yeah.
The more the players complain at Glenn, the more magic you get.
Yeah.
Everybody remember that.
When I'm playing Glenn's game, just complain.
It's the grease.
Until it gets to the point of rocks fall, you die.
How do you generate the magical items? We use Mike's wonderful chart that he's putting up.
Or charts. But yeah.
I just basically just give them what I feel is necessary if I'm going to give them something.
Yeah, I would pick them. If I was giving them out, I wouldn't let them roll randomly. I would just say, okay, this is what you have.
Yeah. Charts are nice, but to look at and, like, you know, judiciously pick.
But that's like a DM fiat or something.
Really?
Oddly enough, that's what this section is called.
No!
Yes, totally.
You expected a DM Volvo? Come on.
notice a dead silence after that.
That's because we don't have a cricket sound effect.
Yeah, I was going to wait for the crickets.
Oh, boy. So, thank you, Glenn.
That's not bad, actually. Anyway.
I told you, all organic.
Yes, we're a very green show. Reincarnated characters.
Oh, they're hosed. No.
You come back as a butterfly with a sword.
I'll let you keep your +3 sword, but you're a badger.
If you can still pick it up and use it.
Badger.
How do you guys... Mike, how do you handle your reincarnated characters?
This dude is kobold with a whip.
So how do you handle your reincarnated characters, Mike?
Well, as far as magic items go, you know, if they come back as something, quote-unquote, humanoid, like an orc or a kobold...
Yes.
They, depending on the size of the weapon, they probably can still keep it. I mean, you know, what they used to have, they should still be able to use, unless there's something, like a kobold cannot use a two-handed sword or a bull arm.
I'd give it to him anyway. It'd be funny to watch.
Oh, they can keep it. They just can't use it.
Strap it to my back and run into it real fast.
So we used to always have fun reincarnating characters and doing like just the opposite of, so they were a human male, they come back as a female dwarf instead.
You say that. I had a like 11th level half-orc cleric assassin. Or something like that. I think he may have just been a cleric. But anyway, he came back, he reincarnated as a delicate little female elf. It was fun to roleplay. It was like, because he still thought of himself as this evil, you know, cruel, horrible person. And it's this teeny little cute elf.
He kept hitting on chicks, right?
Yeah. No.
Smoking cigars, and yeah.
Didn't smoke cigars, but that's a pretty good idea.
If you play him again, you'll have to incorporate that.
Yes, I will.
Or her again.
Yeah, or her again, as it were.
kind of like the best fairy in Axe Cop.
So that's pretty much it. I mean, how do you guys handle the reincarnating characters in your games?
Yeah, tell us.
No, I meant like you as in Glenn.
Oh, yeah, oh, well... As soon as I get one, I'll let you know. Although I have seen, in my time as player, I have seen some doozies.
Yeah.
A lizard with a crossbow. Actually, no, it was the lizard man with a crossbow.
I was about to say, a lizard with a crossbow?
Lizard with a crossbow.
The Geico Gecko.
Yes. A little tiny crossbow.
I can shoot you for 2-8 damage and save you 15% or more on combat.
In 15 minutes or less.
Yeah. What about you, Vince?
What?
No, reincarnation?
Yes, I know.
I mean, yeah, you've done it, but I mean...
Well, I'd like to let reincarnate and give funny ways of reincarnating people and then just let them figure out what they want to do with the weapons from there. And
oh,
watch
okay.
the...
So you don't hand him a weapon or something. Okay.
No, why would I hand him a weapon?
Well, I mean, just to be funny, okay?
No. No. Liz.
Yes?
Only so much funny in Vince's game.
Hey, you guys seem to have fun, even though you guys almost got arrested.
Yeah, that's true. Liz.
Reincarnate.
Yes, you have the floor.
Well, pretty much. I would say, you know, I'm not sure what else I can add to this. I'd let them keep their stuff, but yeah, it would really depend on what you reincarnated into, whether or not you'd be able to use all of it. I would still let you keep it, and you could sell it or trade it with other characters and stuff for something that would be more usable to your new form. But, yeah, as much as I grouse about it, you're right, a kobold would not be able to use a two-handed sword. But I think it's a really cool picture.
You are now an inchworm! Oh, sorry.
Maybe you've just inspired an artist at maybe Oubliette or somewhere to draw that picture.
Oh, I look forward to seeing it.
That'd be kind of a cool picture. Yeah, a kobold trying to pick up a two-handed sword and use it.
How would you have a kobold use a two-handed weapon?
And that that's kind of an interesting campaign.
Double-aught strength.
Oh, jeez. Make up your entire campaign based on kobolds instead.
Kobolds with a two-handed sword.
There was a game put out by Flying Buffalo in the late 70s, early 80s called Monsters, Monsters.
Really?
And it was basically you rolled up your characters as monsters and you went around trying to fight off adventurers coming into your dungeon, or you'd go pillage a village or something like that. That was the campaign.
I can see that. Not something I play regular, but I can see that.
No, but for a fun little one-shot or something, it might be amusing.
Yeah.
Cool. Now let's throw it out to people out there.
There you go.
SaveOrDiePodcast@gmail.com.
Or voicemail.
Blah, 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 blah. Heading into Random Encounters is our next segment.
I really wish we could change the number to blah, 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 just so...
We take what we want and leave the rest. Just like your salad bar.
Nothing up must leave. Presto!
You will come up no more.
What? Huh? What will come out no more?
Random Encounters.
Random Encounters. Now we're doing monsters with magical items. Do we do this or do we not do this? Are the monsters allowed to have magical items?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've come into a lot of positions where, you know, there's these monsters, you killed them, and then in their loot they've got, you know, +2 battle axe. Well, gee, why didn't that hobgoblin use that?
True. Good point.
You know, why did he just sit on it?
Because he didn't know what he had.
On the other hand, if you have that hobgoblin with the +3 chain and the +2 battle axe, he's a much more imposing character to fight.
That's true. My theory is the more intelligent the monster, the more likely he is to use your loot to defend himself.
That always is a question of why in those modules you'd be fighting these orcs with, like you said, rusty daggers and crappy armor, but meanwhile, on them or in their treasure is a +2 sword of brightness or
whatever. Yeah.
Chainmail +7. It's just like, why didn't they use this?
Yeah. See, I try to save that kind of stuff for stuff like, the lower level, lower intelligence creatures, because they're too stupid to use it. You know, stuff like slugs and gelatinous cubes and other things like that.
I know where Mike's coming from. It's because you see these magical items in the modules.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
What were they thinking? I mean,
yeah.
What were you thinking, Frank and Tim and Gary and everybody else?
Yes, Gary. That's something to ask when I die. I go up to heaven. Gary, what were you thinking? Anyway.
And then he'll slap you and send you down to hell.
Yeah, so shut up and roll your dice.
Yes.
Yeah.
How dare you speak that way to St. Gary?
Yeah. Oh, it's been canonized now, okay.
So you give your monsters magical items. Would you give it to the humanoid ones only, or other monsters have other
items? If I was going to give magic items as part of their loot, I'd make them use them for the humanoids and the more smarter ones.
What about like a lizard monster running around with like a ring of +2 on their finger because they got it accidentally caught on there?
That'd be fine. I mean, that's the kind of thing, you know, that's the kind of exception for that kind of thing, if it's circumstantial.
Or a puma running around with a bracer on their paw because it got caught on there, and it's like a giant strength bracer.
Yeah.
I have a feeling...
I had a minotaur once that had a ring of protection as in his nose.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, for instance, would that minotaur be wearing, you know, the chainmail shirt? Well... I doubt it because he's too big for it.
Yeah.
By the whole magical items fit the person?
To a degree, but I tend to think, you know, if it's a chainmail shirt and it's, you know, generally it was for humans, it'll fit all humans.
Damn,
you know,
it's small.
It'll tuck itself or expand a little. But if it's made, say, you find it in a old dwarven mine and you're, you know, 6'4", no, it's not going to work. But that's an individual DM call.
True.
I always thought that was an in-game rule for D&D. The magic item just fits the person.
Mm.
It's not?
I don't think it is an original. If it's in the others, that's great. I just ignore it.
I still can't see like magical chainmail for a human fitting a halfling. So
yeah, or a pixie.
I remember reading that somewhere about how things just adjust size to the person.
Yeah, but how much does it adjust?
As much as it needs.
Does it say that?
It doesn't actually say. It just said it adjusts to the wearer.
Exactly. It doesn't say. And armor generally has to be quite frankly, you know, you have PCs killing monsters and taking, say, ooh, this hobgoblin was wearing plate mail. I'm going to take that plate mail. In, dare I say, reality, that wouldn't play very well because armor has to be custom fit for the individual wearing it, or it's more trouble than it's worth.
This isn't reality. Yeah.
This sounds like your 2E game where you have the pregnant paladin. I kept thinking, how does she get her plate to fit now?
Because she had that magic girdle of baby protection.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
She's like second trimester, and it's like, it must be getting pretty uncomfortable under there.
She got pregnant from a halfling, too, so, you know, who knows?
She's a paladin and she's pregnant? Aren't they supposed to have celibacy?
Not in 2E.
Oh,
it depends on your deity.
And at the end of the game later on, she gave birth to twins, one human and one halfling. Go figure.
Those other odd additions. What are you going to do?
Yeah, that would never happen in Classic.
Yeah, it never happened in Basic. No.
Yeah.
Never happened in First. We follow the rules. We follow the rules in First because that's how it's written out for us.
As put down by the glorious hand of Gary Gygax.
And others.
And Jason. Others.
So next bulletin point here.
Yes.
Is Glenn.
Yes.
No. It's
is there going to be a test afterwards?
Yes. Dragons and their hordes. How do you design the dragon hordes?
Hordes? Or hordes?
No,
right?
Not hordes. Not...
Well, and that gets the item of, obviously, dragons, most of them anyway, are pretty intelligent.
Yes. Pretty. I feel pretty.
Well, I can see dragons using magical items in their horde, but at the same time, they'd have to be like kind of
Does the magical plate mail change to fit them, Vince?
Dragons?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Huh? Does it? Does it? Huh?
Mike?
Yeah?
Shut up.
Okay, I'll do a Liz. I'll be quiet.
But if he could like slip a ring of protection on his claw or something.
Or use a wand.
What happens if he swallows the ring of protection? Does that still count? Yeah, what if a person swallows the ring of protection?
I don't think so, because
they can poop
you
it
can
out?
Carry a ring of protection, but if you're not wearing it, it doesn't give its effect.
True. The wizard would follow you around waiting for it to come out.
Mm. But could you put it around a tooth?
Oh, Lord. A filling of protection.
Well, for a dragon.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, no, really. You don't think wearing it would be inside your body? I mean, you're kind of wearing it in a sense.
Well, by that logic, then, just putting it against your skin.
Well, that's not the same logic.
See,
sure it is. It's contact with the body. As opposed to wearing it on
our
finger.
It's inside the body.
You put it in the palm of your hand and grasp it. It is now surrounded by your body. Same thing.
Okay. See, I think if you swallow it, reality ensues again. Where it's, what does that do? What does like your stomach acid and stuff do to that ring?
Probably nothing, because it's magical.
Oh, okay.
That's what I would say.
Unless your DM says otherwise. But yeah. Especially if it's a ring of protection, because, you know, that's
a
bag.
So does that mean, does it stay in your body or pass through?
It's probably going to pass through, because most of everything passes through.
Otherwise, it's like I'm going to be laying magical, you know.
I might allow the player to have it for 24 hours.
Yeah. That's a good call.
Because, you know, obviously you got to go to the bathroom eventually, and it's going to pass through your system straight away. So
I wouldn't, but...
So that's how Bilbo found the ring. Okay.
Ew.
Glenn.
It was in Gollum stuff. Yes, okay.
Anyway. But yeah, that would be a situation with humanoids, for instance, if it was a basic magic item like a weapon or an armor piece, they would use it. Dragons, I would limit to using stuff like wands, rods, that sort of thing.
But what? How about potions?
No.
They wouldn't swallow a potion to...
Well, of course they would, but if you're talking... If a PC can't take just a brief sip and get the full effect, why would a dragon be able to drink what amounts to a little vial and get the full effect?
It's magic, as Vince says.
Well, if we go down that route, I mean, I know I tend to be an over-realist. I really
admit. Mike, and I'm the opposite. Don't confuse me with logic.
But on the other hand, if everything's answer is it's magic, we don't need any rules.
That's the whole purpose. The whole purpose of the game is it's magic.
It's magic.
Then why do we have rules to explain how much magical plate mail gives? It's magic. It's whatever
you're
right,
want. Right. I'm getting rid of my books right now. We're just going to go to I'm going to make stuff up.
Okay. Get rid of the denim one first.
Hey. That's worth money.
Right. Okay, sure.
Frank Mentzer signed it.
Gary Gygax signed mine.
Okay.
Okay, let's stop putting them out on the table now, guys. Let's move on to the next topic now of Random Encounters.
Water's deep? Anyway, okay.
Your dungeon master has placed you in a dreadfully precarious position.
Where are the Cheetos?
They're right next to you.
Well, all you do is we play the characters we talked about earlier, and we run around and stuff.
I want to show you a trick Mother showed me when you weren't around.
Use your lightning bolt.
Victory is yours.
I'm attacking the darkness.
Dungeons and Dragons games. Products of your imagination.
You're not there. You're getting drunk.
Products of your imagination this week. We're going to be reviewing the Shady Dragon Inn.
Pretty shady.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's TSR number what?
One.
It's AC1. I don't know the exact.
I just remember one. That's all I remember.
Yeah, it's AC1. Don't ask me for the ISBN or anything.
Yeah.
So why the Shady Dragon Inn?
Well, basically because since the subject is creating higher level, you know, greater than first level type characters, that's mostly what Shady Dragon Inn is all about. It's lists of various characters for NPCs, or if you need some PCs off the cuff, they're made and ready and waiting for you.
It's sort of the basic equivalent of that Judge's Guild Fantastic Personalities book.
Or AD&D's Rogues Gallery.
Or AD&D's Rogues Gallery, yes.
Very interesting.
And it's got some iconic characters in there, you said, Mike?
Yeah. If anyone who gamed back in the day remembers the 80s, they put out, TSR put out a bunch of Dungeons & Dragons action figures.
Yes.
Like War Duke, Heartthrob, whatever his name was, the Paladin, and so on and so forth. Anyway.
The Mage made it onto the cover of the first edition reprint of AD&D. So.
Anyway, they're given stats and background information in the back of Shady Dragon Inn.
I have the module for that, too.
Yeah, if you actually want to use those characters. Though they did one screw-up.
I was just going to say, you found something in there.
Yeah, I found one screw-up. I cannot remember the character's name, but anyway, he is a half-orc. And he's listed as a half-orc assassin. Thief. And it's like, obviously, I suspect these were originally written up for AD&D, and they were going back through, well, let's stick them in the back of this, you know, classic, you know, basic expert adventure. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think it's technically for expert. And so let's convert them, and somebody kind of...
Goofed,
yeah. But it's minor. I mean, they do put thief afterwards, and the actual attributes run as a thief, so...
Well,
you know,
I was thinking if they put thief... Well, I was thinking if they put thief afterwards, maybe they're thinking of, like, they're just saying that he's an assassin. He's a thief, but that's what he does.
But they don't do any of that in the... That should have been in the descriptive flavor text, not...
Yeah, it's more fun to say it's a scrub. Okay, yeah, it's a scrub, okay.
Well, yeah, and half-orcs. There aren't any half-orcs in they could.
Now, that's a major scrub.
At least not as PCs, or even as NPCs, come to think of it. Except there.
Did they ever introduce a half-orc and dragon for basic?
No.
Well, even if they had, they wouldn't have... I think the only time Dragon ever published stuff that was official was either Errata or the previews for Unearthed Arcana. If I'm wrong on that, somebody call in and write in and tell me.
Well, I know I'm pretty sure the fact Dragon Magazine was 1 through 20 for Classic, and then it went on to First Edition.
They still did some occasional Basic Expert stuff afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Not much, though.
Not much.
Even in Tatooine, they did some basic stuff.
Yeah, but it wasn't much. It was, like Vince was saying, it was maybe every dozen issues or so, something like
that. Their main focus was first, and then after that, they went right into second and focused mainly on that.
Mm-hmm. Of course, by then, also, Dungeon Magazine was out, so, you know, that's, if you wanted to venture, that's pretty much where it went. But anyway...
I do miss purchasing those magazines at the store each week, though.
Yeah. That's, I mean, you know, the other fanzines that come out and other magazines are great, but yeah, it is something going down to the store. But hey, you know, bookstores are going out of business left, right, and center, so pretty soon you won't be going to the store and buying anything.
Yeah, I remember, I may have bought an occasional Dragon, but I remember somebody for my birthday one year bought me a year subscription.
Mm.
And that was a whole lot, and that was like the prime... That was like the first edition, second edition era. So I got like all the good prime stuff.
I never had a Dragon magazine subscription because our gaming our bookstore could be pretty much relied to always get it in. I got subscriptions to stuff that they didn't get in, like Space Gamer or that sort of thing. But
Shadus. Remember that one.
I always had a subscription to Dungeon Magazine because I liked looking at all the different designs they had in there and like adventure ideas.
Yes.
But Shady Dragon Inn.
When was this published? What's the timeline on this?
1981?
Okay. Just on the...
Right around...
Let me look that up.
That's a little after the time, started getting involved in D&D, but then I went straight to AD&D, so...
It looks like it was probably meant for first edition the way it was, the era, because...
It looks like it. But they got all sorts of, like, characters at different levels in there, different characters.
So if you need a quick NPC, you just flip open the book, do a little random check.
I've got was 1983.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it probably was meant for first edition, and then, like Mike said, they just shoved it in the back of an expert.
Well, at least that back section was. Everything else is pretty obviously expert. It's just that section in the back that covered the action figures.
So this came around BX time.
Yeah. Well, okay. Wasn't Mulvey in 81?
Yeah.
And I guess expert was 82.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, those pretty much on the... And it's got some good stuff. It's got some... I wish there was a bit more lower-level characters in there, but... especially, like, at the beginning, where it goes into a lot of description for, like, 30 or 40 characters, and then they give, like, just general breakups of characters later on. But most of those characters are mid to high level.
You know, I was just looking at my Judges Guild Fantastic Personalities copy, and I just noticed it isn't really for first edition or anything. It's for their universal system. So with this and Shady Dragon Inn, you should be set for, like, NPCs. Yeah. You know, quick
hey, don't bash Universal. They had to do something.
That's true. We should get more into that.
Because they lost they lost the D&D license, so they had to do something.
Well, this is good if you're stuck in a town and your players want to go somewhere you don't want them to go, and you need an NPC real quick to sit in the store that they're going into, or the tavern that you didn't think they were going to bother with in the town that had no name for, you know.
Or the potion shop you're going to burn down,
No, that's the other thing. It's got details on the Shady Dragon Inn as well as the grid map set for miniatures for the tavern, so in case you need a tavern brawl or something, it's good to go.
Which makes a great base of operations.
That too, if you wanted to play it like that.
For a group.
Alright.
Or something like that.
Shady Dragon Inn votes. Mike. Out of 5.
3.5.
Okay. Glenn?
4. I like it! Great stuff. Between that and Fantastic Personalities, I just keep those by my side. Boom! Instant NPC.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go to 4 because it's an instant NPC and you need it for when your party strays away. So we got to give it 3.75.
I'm the kind of guy who, like, harvests pre-gens from modules, so...
I just wish there was some more... had a greater supply of lower-level characters. That's my only big gripe to it.
Yeah, those...
I guess they figured if it's a low-level character, you could just make it on your own.
Yeah, but if you're a DM in the middle of the game, it's great to have a list you can just snap from. Rather than, hold on a second, let me roll his or her attributes, you know...
Hold on, let me just make it an average attribute.
This is why I would harvest pre-gens from modules. Before I found books like this, I was like, okay, I got all these can be my pre-gens. So,
Mike, would you take the time to roll it up? Wouldn't you just think in your head, okay, if it comes down to a battle, this guy's going to have 12 hit points. His AC is going to be a 6 because he's got hidden armor here. You want to roll it up?
Yeah, if it's somebody they just ran into in a tavern brawl or something, but if they're getting a hireling or something, you need... a bit more info than that.
Yeah. Can you actually write up a human NPC as opposed to a monster where you just write down, okay, it's a hobgoblin, here's his AC, here's his hit points, here's his weapon, here's the damage, go.
Yeah.
Can you do that same thing with the shopkeeper or the tavern owner or the sheriff?
Yes, I could do that.
As long as their only interaction with the guy is going to be just as a mouthpiece or in a tavern fight they're looking to beat up. Or get beat up by, then I can get away with that. But when it comes to hirelings or stuff like that, I feel like you need more information.
What more do you need?
Well, you need to know what their pluses are to combat, if they've got attributes, you know, depending on, especially if they're like hiring some men-at-arms, do they have any strength attribute pluses? Do they have any constitution attribute pluses? What about dexterity? What are they armed with? So on and so forth.
They have no bonuses because their strength is average. They have a +1 on their constitution, so they're going to have 12 hit points. No, 11 hit points, excuse me. What was the third question?
So you give them maximum hit points.
Yeah.
Actually, that would be 9 hit points, not 11.
Sorry, 9. What was the last question you had?
What are they armed with?
They're armed with a spear +1, a shield, and they're wearing leather armor.
What about the other 4 hirelings that are looking to get hired?
Well, they're going to be doing around the same thing.
They all look alike. They're just wearing different colored tabards.
Yes, exactly.
So
no,
he's
hiring
the Ninja Turtles.
He's just going to hire one of them. He can only afford one.
Okay.
Hire the green one.
Mike, I've been doing it for so long that you should too be able to do that on the fly.
I'd love to do that on the fly.
If I had to, could I do it on the fly? Sure, but I'd like to have a list. It's less work for me. I can just look at the list.
It's one of those things you give the hirelings. It's one of those things you give them the hirelings for the game, and you do the basic stuff, and you just go with it. And then outside the game, if they're going to hang around, then you go, okay, and then he's got this and this and this.
Yeah, never stop the game for rules. Just keep it going. Players don't need to know stats.
I wouldn't have stopped the game to roll it. What I'm saying is I would want a list ahead of time. I would fib it until I got through the game, but then I would sit down and roll it afterwards.
Exactly.
Okay. No, definitely not stop the game. Just, okay, I got to roll this character.
Well, I know there's DMs that do that. They stop the game because they have to figure it out.
No. That's bad. Bad.
If you absolutely have to do that, you call a break, and then you just, like, you know, roll and write like hell.
Yeah. Yeah, you can give a 5-minute smoke break, and then as everybody's going out to do their thing. Of course, nowadays with computers and stuff, you can just go to a website, hit a button, and you've got the character.
Oh, he's got his iPad. He can do it right there. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, oh, my God, it's in Flash. No, I can't. That's going to end the show this week, folks.
Anyway, you guys, if you guys know about Shady Dragon Inn, drop us an email at saberdotpodcast@gmail.com and whatever that number is.
Yes, and we're running down the highway, and Mike is running away from...
a kobold with a two-handed sword.
Right, and Glenn's is just walking to the Shady Dragon Inn with a fistful of hundreds.
That's right, and I'm getting ready to burn down a potion shop.
That's right.
Hundred of liras, anyway.
Yes.
Hundred of liras, yeah. We can't take this stuff. It's euros.
Remember.
Well, anyway.
Remember, you rule the game, not the other way around.
Save or die and all that kind of good crap.
Good night, everybody.
Here we are.
Good night, everybody.